Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right, good to have you with us today, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We are broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Our show emanating from our world headquarters here in beautiful Memphis, Tennessee. Liberation Day is upon us, and it is a great day to be a Tennessean and a great day to be an American. There is so much happening today at this hour. Our FBI Director, Kash Patel, is testifying up on Capitol Hill. And I will say this, there are a lot of revelations coming out from a lot of different sources, but we can now say, according to the FBI Director, Kash Patel, that there are a lot more than 20 people that are currently under investigation involved in these Discord chats with the Charlie Kirk assassination suspect, this man named Tyler Robinson. And all of these folks are now under investigation. We can also tell you that, remember early when the shooting happened, there was an old guy, and he said, "I'm the guy who shot Charlie Kirk, shoot me." His name is George Zinn. He was immediately taken down and taken into custody. Zinn is reportedly telling investigators that he was trying to draw attention away from the real shooter. So this guy, now charged with second-degree felonies, obstruction of justice. Now, my question is, okay, who paid this guy? And what connection did he have to the suspect? And are there more people involved in this, what is beginning now to look like a conspiracy? So a lot of new information coming out there. They're saying this guy is really a gadfly, that he's a nobody. He likes to kind of insert himself in everybody else's business. And that may very well be the case, but it's a little weird for somebody to say that immediately after Charlie Kirk's, you know, carotid artery was blown off. The guy said he wanted to be a martyr for the person who was shot. I have no words for that. So Patel testifying on Capitol Hill, and he was being quizzed by Josh Hawley about the arrest. And here is Director Patel. Cut number 20, please.
It's done in this investigation. It's the FBI investigating the Kirk assassination as part of this broader pattern of anti-religious, anti-Christian violence.
We are investigating Charlie's assassination fully and completely, and running out every lead related to any allegation of broader violence. And we're producing results on that we'll disclose when appropriate.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Let me just ask you a few questions about that, if I could.
Sure.
Reports have suggested that the FBI is investigating a broader network of groups that may have had some knowledge of the shooter's plans. Can you give us any details on that? Following up what you already said in public, how's the FBI working to find other potential accomplices, folks who may have known about the shooter's plans, folks who may have encouraged him? Any update on any of that?
So in terms of what we do for an interrogation perspective, we go and reach out to the family and community immediately. And we've conducted those investigations and interrogations with local law enforcement, and we're continuing to do that because those closest to the suspect are going to hopefully know the most about the suspect and his beliefs and his ideology. On top of that, unfortunately, it has been leaked that there was a Discord chat. And for those unfamiliar with it, it's a gaming chat room online that the suspect participated in. So what we're doing, we've already done, is serve legal process, not just on Discord, so that the information we gathered is sustained and held in a evidentiary posture that we could use in prosecution should it be decided to do so. And we're also going to be investigating anyone and everyone involved in that Discord chat.
Okay, very good. I see the public reports that the Discord thread had as many as 20 additional users. It sounds like you're trying to run down all of that to see if that's accurate. who else may have been on that thread, what they may have known. Is that fair to say?
It's a lot more than that. We're running them all down.
It's a lot more than 20?
Yes, sir.
And you're running all of that to ground?
Every single one.
Yeah, fantastic.
All right, there you go. That is, again, shocking information. So now the questions are beginning to evolve. You know, we're clearly, we now know more than one person was involved when you've got this George Zenn guy. But what about the other people in this Discord chat? And Dylan, I know you're a big gamer. You do the video games. Are you familiar with Discord?
Yeah, I use Discord pretty frequently, actually.
So how is it used for those of us who do not do the whole gaming thing? What is that like?
Yeah, it's basically like any chat room that you hear. You can get invited to groups, but mostly it's just voice chat, and then you can do text, and it like separates into subgroups too, in the large group of it.
So they're like video chats, or are you just texting, or is it a combo platter?
It's a combo, yeah.
Okay, because the guy apparently actually confessed to his, I guess, Discord friends. You have followers? Is that how
yeah,
that works?
You can, yeah, you have followers.
You see, we didn't have all that back in the day when we had Atari. We had a joystick and a game and a TV monitor. That was it.
Yeah, we've upgraded there.
You've evolved a little bit from those days. All right, well, thank you. So that's what we're talking about here, folks. So Kash Patel is saying we're looking at more than 20 people. Are all those people going to be charged? Well, we don't know. We don't know, but something's not quite right. Now, I want to warn you about a couple of things, and you just need to be aware of this. The online chatter is taking a very dark turn, and it is taking a very anti-Israel turn. And you've got a lot of folks out there, and I'm talking about Megyn Kelly, Steve Bannon, Jack Posobiec, Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson. There are a number that are suggesting that there could be some sort of Israeli involvement here. They're not coming right out and saying that, but I was chatting with a very well-known person who let me just say this. Every time she makes an accusation, it turns out to be true. And I wrote to her last night. We were chatting. I said, you know, I may be wrong here, but it sure does seem that there's about to be a full court press to blame Israel for Charlie's assassination. And she replied, there already is. So pay attention here. It's going to get a little squirrely, and it could happen quickly. Now, I want to go back to, and we'll talk more about that later. I want to go back, though, to the investigation here. This is very strange. And one of the first things I noticed, even in the, you know, right in the throes of the aftermath of the shooting, the police never did secure the crime scene. Did anybody notice that? Did anyone else notice that the FBI, that the feds, or rather the local police, did not set up any kind of crime scene tape or secure the crime scene? And I say that because when you look at the videos and the photographs, there are people contaminating TPUSA staffers. You have the crowd, and they're all contaminating the crime scene. But then there is a person believed to be a TPUSA staffer, and you can see them taking down. There's some sort of a camera right behind Charlie. Who took that camera, and where is that camera, and what does that camera show? So these are some of the questions I have here. But I was really concerned. Why are they not secure? You had security there. Why are they not immediately securing that location and keeping people out of there? And what happened to that? What if that device was a camera, whatever it was? Where is that device now? What was it filming, and where is the film? And let's hope that law enforcement is, but I've just not been terribly impressed with law enforcement and their handling of the assassination. Just a lot of questions I have. All right, we're going to take a break here. We've got a lot of audio to play. Again, major hearings happening up on Capitol Hill. We're going to keep our eye on all of that. Also, we are expecting our good buddy, Judge Joe Brown, to phone in coming up in just a few moments. That's going to be a great conversation. Plus, your calls as well. Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Have you ever wondered why some people seem to experience God's favor in extraordinary ways? Well, there's a secret hiding in plain sight throughout Scripture. God has designed a pathway to blessing that runs directly through our relationship with Israel. It's not complicated, and it's really not mysterious. It's actually beautifully simple, a promise found in Genesis 12. God said, "I will bless those who bless you." Now, this holy equation has been working for 4,000 years from Abraham's time to today. God rewards those who align their hearts with his heart for Israel. It's sort of like stepping into a river of blessing that's been flowing since the beginning. When I support the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, I'm not just giving charity. I'm plugging into God's ancient blessing system. I'm choosing to flow with his plan instead of against it. And the results speak for themselves. Lives transformed, families blessed, purposes fulfilled. As Christians, we believe we've been grafted into God's family tree. So let's discover what it means to be united with his chosen people through faith. To learn more, visit ifcj.org. That's ifcj.org. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns radio program. So, yeah, no, look, I believe that this, you know, we're going to get to the bottom of it, but it certainly looks as though this guy, whoever was arrested, was working with other people. I just don't believe in coincidences. And the idea that you had a guy asking a question about transgenderism and then Charlie gets shot, and it turns out the shooter is in a romantic relationship with another man who is transitioning to be a woman, that's a little suspect to me. And now we now know, as a result of Kash Patel's testimony, that more than 20 people were involved in these Discord chats with the assassination suspect. Now, what does that mean? Well, I mean, it could mean nothing unless there, or could be something. I mean, it could be the fact that they were plotting, they were planning, and that other people knew that this was going to happen. There's been some additional reporting that transgender activists in, you know, on Discord were aware that something was going to happen to Charlie Kirk on that day. I would be curious to know how they knew that. And I have no doubt the FBI is going to get to the bottom of that. Here is a Kash Patel breaking down the timeline. This was just a few moments ago.
It's important that this FBI is transparent as possible without jeopardizing investigations. Charlie Kirk was shot at 12:23 p.m. on September 10th. I think this timeline is critically important. Less than a day later, the FBI, at my direction, released the first set of images of the suspect that we captured based on our analysis on the ground. Later that evening, while conducting extensive interviews and cell phone analysis and also flying out evidence response teams and hostage rescue teams and evidence tacticians who were collecting evidence in live time and flying them back to Washington, D.C. in our laboratories for immediate analyses, we were able to extract video from the campus feed and at my direction at 8 p.m. in partnership and promise to working with the public to bring this fugitive to justice. We released a newly never before seen video of the suspect. We also released new enhanced photos of the suspect. A few hours later, that suspect was in custody pursuant to the interrogation of the suspect's own father, who stated, "When I saw that video that you released, I recognized it was my son, and I confronted him, and he was handed over to lawful law enforcement authorities." That is the FBI working with the public as I promised, being transparent and providing critical information along the way in the manhunt for the suspect and suspects involved in Charlie's assassination. We received over 11,000 tips in the first 24 hours alone. We received 16,000 submissions to our digital media enterprise and tip lines. That is a large number of material to go through.
So there you have it, the latest coming from Kash Patel this morning. And we'll keep an eye on all this. Do you think this is a turning point, though? You know, a lot of people are saying, well, this is a turning point for the USA. And I get that. I hope it is. I really do. I am encouraged by the numbers of people
that are rising up and they're calling out the hate and the vitriol. But I'm telling you, there are a lot of dangerous people running around the streets of America. Fox News did a report, had a report on earlier today from Rutgers. 50% of people who consider themselves to be left of center, so that would be leftist, or as we call them, libtards, 50% of libtards believe it's justified to murder someone like Elon Musk because of his opinions. Now, another 56% of libtards believe it was justified to shoot and kill Donald Trump for his beliefs. Take a listen.
I'm going to ask you about this Rutgers report.
Good morning.
On the Network Contagion Research Center. This is their conclusion, okay? Users online are increasingly associating the memification of Luigi Mangione with calls for political violence against Elon Musk, President Trump, and others, reflecting the growing cyber social presence of assassination culture. And Aisha, you have some findings that they have here on justification.
It's alarming, and I want to put this up here. This is a justification for murder of Elon Musk and Donald Trump. And you'll see here, they found that when it came to the left of center, 50% thought that it was justified to murder Elon Musk, 56% for President Trump. I mean, the numbers are just incredible, jaw-dropping here.
Staggering. Staggering. So I have a question for you. Where are they getting all of this? Where are these kids getting these ideas? Are they getting them from mom and dad around the dinner table? Is that where all of that is happening? Or is it possible that these kids are being groomed and indoctrinated on these university campuses? Do you understand how many people we're talking about? We're talking about a lot of libtards out there, and these people are not thinking correctly. And so when you have people that don't have reasoning skills, you're going to be able to control those people. It's a very dangerous thing that's happening here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. To that point, I want to share a story with you. Now, you folks in the Gainesville, Georgia area, and also our affiliate in Cleveland, Georgia, you're familiar with the University of North Georgia. We got a problem at the University of North Georgia. I want you to hear this young lady, cut 19.
I might be getting canceled for this, but I'm kind of pissed off. Anyway, I'm a senior in college, and I'm in international public relations. And I was told to read chapter 8 this week of International Public Relations, Negotiating Culture, Identity, and Power. I just opened it up to chapter 8 about 5 minutes ago. I've been sitting here in awe. Chapter 8 is titled Contested Identities Shifting Publics in a Globalized World. I'm going to read you what I just read and where I stopped. I think it's the second sentence, maybe the third. Identity may be one of the most contentious words of the new millennium. An internet search produces the following modifiers for identity: corporate, sexual, digital, public, racial, national, brand, and even Christian. A U.S.-based white supremacist group. I'm pissed. So I would just like to say that as a Christian, if you're reading this and you're not a Christian and you're in college, I am not a white supremacist. So can we cancel these authors? Are we going to cancel me?
That young lady is a student at the University of North Georgia in Dahlonega. And they are teaching the students that Christians are a problem in America. The University of North Georgia teaching that Christians are a form of white supremacy. Your tax dollars are paying for that, Georgia. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. That's just unbelievable. Just unbelievable what's happening at University of North Georgia. A major retail chain just canceled a massive order, leaving MyPillow with an overstock of classic MyPillows. Now it's your gain. For a limited time, MyPillow offering their entire classic collection at true wholesale prices. Get a standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Want more? Upgrade to a queen size for only $24.98 or king size for $29.98. Snag body pillows for $39.98 and versatile multi-use pillows for just $12.98. Visit MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 to score these amazing deals. Plus, when your order totals $75 or more, you'll receive $100 in free digital gifts, no strings attached. That's right, premium pillows at unbeatable prices and bonus gifts to top it off. Don't wait. Head to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 now. And don't forget to use promo code STARNS to grab your standard MyPillow for only $19.98 while supplies last. Yeah, hello. Good to have you back with us. Man, we are so excited. We're so excited at Memphis. We are getting ready to have a huge pep rally for the National Guard on Thursday, and we'll be telling all of our Memphis area listeners about that. But I'm telling you that we're going to have a huge, huge welcome wagon for the National Guard as they come out to Memphis and take care of all this crime. That being said, there is there's a woman in Memphis. Her name is Tammy Sawyer. He is Tammy Sawyer. And she's a big gal around town. Everybody knows Tammy. So she's no, I'm not talking about girth. I'm just saying people know her. She's a big deal. And she is the General Sessions court clerk. She was on a local television program, the ABC affiliate called Local 24, ABC News. And she attacked not only Charlie Kirk, but also yours truly, because I was part of this massive Charlie Trump vigil in Collierville, Tennessee on Sunday night. And it was a beautiful thing. Some 2,000 people were there, and it was really an outdoor worship service, more so than anything else. Anyway, here's how Ms. Sawyer... Here's how she framed that.
When we talk about dangerous rhetoric, I think that the most dangerous rhetoric right now that's hurting Memphis is the idea that we are a city that's rampant with crime. When we look at the homicide rates, we are seeing that that impacts less than 3% of the city. But what we don't hear the Republican Party talk about is the incidents and the fact that 80% of our kids are experiencing childhood poverty or are living as the working poor in their own homes. That two-thirds of our kids are graduating from school unprepared for work or college. And that the jobs that we continuously bring into the city are manufacturing jobs with high turnover and low pay. And so if we want to talk about crime in Memphis, it's been proven statistically that any of our crime issues and the majority of our crime issues up into our issues with guns are directly connected to the fact that we are a city that has faced poverty and that that poverty has not been resolved. And that's what Dr. King came here to talk about. He came here to talk about the economic situation that Black Americans were experiencing right here in Memphis. So.
All right. So that's the first part of what you had. But here's the part I wanted to talk about. Cut number seven.
So if you want to talk about divisive rhetoric, let's talk about the fact that right now in Collierville, there is a vigil being held for a man who spouted anti-Black rhetoric every day on the national news. So we want to talk about divisive rhetoric. Let's talk about the fact that this is an order from a president who is attacking the cities, Memphis, Detroit, Chicago, Baltimore, D.C., the cities that are some of the largest Black cities in this country and have the highest voting rates of Democrats in this country. And we're preparing for this to be a lead up to the 2026 midterms and 2028 election when this president who wants to be king plans to run again and further dismantle democracy.
All right. So this woman's an elected official and she's out there calling Charlie Kirk a racist. She's saying that all of you folks who went out to that beautiful vigil are racist people. And she said that Donald Trump is a dictator who wants to be king. These are not serious people, but you have to take them seriously because people like Tammy Sawyer and the vile, evil, racist sludge spewing from her orifices, that's putting a lot of people's lives in danger here. And she's not the only one. She's just a local example of what we're dealing with. But I'm telling you, this sort of language is the reason why Charlie Kirk got killed. And my recommendation, and I know that the Kirk family is going to be addressing a lot of the people that are out there lying about Charlie, and not just misrepresenting, but flat out lying. Charlie Kirk did not have a racist bone in his body. Wasn't a racist. And there's a reason why, you know, a lot of people say, how come you don't do the local TV in the Memphis area? Why is it you only host a Newsmax show? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because I would have been on that woman like a pit bull on a pork chop. You know, these local TV shows are like, all right, now we're going to have a debate. And by debate, I'm going to ask you a question. And you're going to ask it, you're going to answer it politely. And then I'm going to ask you a question on the other side. And you're going to answer that question politely. And we're just going to have a dandy time on the TV. Yeah, I don't play that game. Somebody calls me a racist, there's going to be you know what to pay. But they didn't ask me, so it is what it is. All that to say, this kind of rhetoric out there is happening in every city, every town. And if Ms. Sawyer is so upset, and she's very upset because President Trump is sending her to the National Guard, here's the cold, hard reality for people like Tammy Sawyer. The fact is that for the past 50, 60 years, Memphis has been controlled by Democrats, and the same is for every other city that she mentioned, Detroit, D.C., Philadelphia, you name it, all controlled by Democrats. They are solely responsible for the conditions of their towns, solely responsible. By the way, they talk about needing new jobs, good, solid jobs. They literally tried to run Elon Musk out of Memphis. Elon building a supercomputer here, they tried to shut it down and kick Elon Musk out of town. Elon's coming into the city bringing good jobs. It's unbelievable. But that's the kind of rhetoric that gets people killed. And I am not afraid of calling out these evil, vile racists. That's exactly what they are. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. To that point, I want to play this audio. This is coming from Texas. A preacher by the name of Marcus Cosby. He is one of these mega church preachers, and here's what he had to say about Charlie Kirk during his Sunday service. Take a listen. Cut 16.
You and I need to be very careful. All of us need to be careful of the public positions that we take. Be very careful. Mr. Kirk said for years that sometimes there in schools, there has to be some lives sacrificed to protect the Second Amendment. I'm not making it up. Some lives have to be taken to protect the Second Amendment. Got to be careful of the positions you take, because they might just come back and take you. I am not applauding his death. That boy should not have died. His children got to be raised without a father. His wife has to deal with living without her husband. It should not have gone down like that. But the Bible says, if you live by the sword, be careful of your public positions, because the Bible says you will reap what you sow.
You know what else the Bible says, preacher man? The Bible says something about unwholesome, filthy, and foolish talk, and crude joking, sir, and filthiness. And that man has a filthy mouth. So we had to do a little research on this guy. I wasn't familiar with him, but you people in Houston are. His name is Dr. Marcus Cosby. He is the senior pastor of Wheeler Avenue Baptist Church. And I have to say, I am shocked to hear that this sort of thing was happening in Houston, especially in a Baptist church in Houston. But when you, that voice you heard and the people cheering and clapping and shouting amen, those are not Christian people. Those are demons. And I don't know what that guy's preaching out of, but it's not the Holy Bible, I can tell you that. I'm just appalled. And by the way, he's not the only preacher that was doing that from the pulpit. We had some audio yesterday. Dylan, let's try to grab that audio from yesterday. We didn't get a chance to get around to it. We had a lot to say yesterday. But let me just say this. Oh, we've got it. All right, I'll give you another example. Let's take a listen.
Charlie Kirk did not deserve to be assassinated. But I'm overwhelmed seeing the flags of the United States of America at half staff, calling this nation to honor and venerate a man who was an unapologetic racist and spent all of his life sowing seeds of division and hate into this land. And hearing people with selective rage who were mad about Charlie Kirk but didn't give a damn about Melissa Hortman and her husband when they were shot down in their home, tell me I ought to have compassion for the death of a man who had no respect for my own life. I am sorry, but there's nowhere in Bible where we are taught to honor evil. And how you die does not redeem how you lived. You do not become a hero in your death when you are a weapon of the enemy in your life.
So there you have it. Again, this is the sort of rage that was coming and that was spewing from these demonic pulpits. That right there was not a preacher. That was the Prince of Darkness. That was evil, evil personified. And what makes it even worse is that it was happening in a church. That's the disgusting part of all of this. So you folks in Houston, this is unbelievable. And this is one of the reasons why we have so much turmoil in our culture right now is because many of these churches, and let me just say this, we have two big problems. Number one, are churches like that spewing hate and evil from the pulpit. The other problem are these lily-livered, limp-wristed preachers who simply refuse to engage the culture. They just refuse to do it. And many of them didn't even talk about what happened. So many young people were flocking to churches over the weekend because they're horrified. For them, this is like their JFK. This is their MLK Jr. This is the moment that will live in infamy in their minds, broadcast all across the nation. You've got horrified and terrified young people, teenagers, young kids. And many of them showed up at your church on Sunday looking for answers, looking for someone to explain how Christianity plays in the great scheme of things in this country, looking for direction in their lives. And for many people, they showed up at churches and they did not get it. And let me tell you something. They walked out the doors of your church with all the beautiful music and the singing and the readings and the homilies, and they walked out of your church, and they will never come back. And I think that's sad. I think that's a missed opportunity. This is a for such a time as this moment for Christians in America. And we've got to be willing to stand up and speak truth to the culture. We do so in love, but we got to speak the truth. But a lot of preachers, they don't want to go down that path anymore. They want to talk, they just... that they want to gloss over it, they want to ignore it, or in these cases that we just played, they want to use their pulpits to spew hate to America. It's a missed opportunity, folks, a missed opportunity. If the church refuses to engage the culture, then the evil wins. It's really that simple. Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. 901-260-5926. Our telephone number, that's 901-260-5926. Hey, I got to tell you about Newsmax. Tonight, by the way, 5 o'clock Eastern, watch the Todd Stern Show. A lot of people watching Rob Finnerty these days. President Trump, one of the viewers. Millions are joining President Trump to watch Finnerty every night, 8 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. And all this week, Rob is looking at the media's war on the president, giving you facts about the National Guard in cities like Memphis, New York, Chicago, telling you the real truth about those Epstein files, revealing the big media's agenda on Trump's health. You need to watch Finnerty tonight. Check your local cable system. Download the free Newsmax app. Costs you absolutely nothing. You can watch in minutes. Rob, by the way, the fastest growing primetime news show in America. So find out why even President Trump is tuning in. More than 40 million Americans now go to Newsmax for news they can trust, because we are real news for real people. All right, let's go to the phones. Ron in Salem, Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. Hi, Ron. What's on your mind, sir?
What's on my mind? You had a patriot. You had a person who knew his history, constitutional history, and he walked. He did everything what Jesus asked Paul and all of us should be doing, just like Nathan Hill, who sacrificed his life at 19 years old, being a professor and watching spy during the battle of New York, and he said, I wish I had another life to give. Charlie Kirk was an exemplary. He was not a racist. That pastor has lost his mind. Pastor Morales, they jump on him because he talks about truth. We don't teach repentance. We do not teach accountability. We don't want them to know their history. This is all. I'm, as a person who grew up 15 years ago in L.A., and I live in Oregon here, I get out 33 years later, because it ain't about black or white, but it pays well. It divides well. They never criminalized it. They don't want to talk about the 25 to 35% crime rate they're not reporting in. That's not part of the statistics. They don't want to talk about how they're drifting along the side, like some of the senators that's black in this state that think that they're gods, or the pastors. For a pastor to go through and throw that type of stuff instead of healing, uplifting, teaching the younger generation that without God, you don't have a foundation. We are a Judeo-Christian value country since 1896, when the U.S. Supreme Court came out in 1896 and wrote a 32-page letter. You cannot go through and kick God to the curb. Because I'm, you know, but people want to sit in chairs. And that pastor down there in Houston, he embarrasses me. He goes against everything I read.
Well, this man, that pastor is not a man of God. He is a man of Satan. And one of the things that I've discovered, Ron, and I sure do appreciate you calling in, and I hear your passion and I hear your frustration. We got to start calling these people out for what they are. And that is nothing. What that man was spewing, lies from the pulpit. And I challenge anybody. Show me the evidence. Show me the proof. People love to call in, Starnes, you're nothing but a racist. Where's your evidence? What's your proof? Otherwise, shut up. By the way, Nathan Hale, a great American patriot, a martyr for his country, by the way. He was hanged by the British September 22nd, 1776. Remember what he said? Remember what Nathan Hale said? So many people still remember his words echoing across this nation today, especially in light of what happened to Charlie Kirk. Nathan Hale said, I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country. I only regret that I have one life to lose for my country. You know, this was, a lot of people think, our founding fathers, Revolutionary War heroes, they see the powdered wigs and they think, these guys were in their 50s or 60s and their 40s. No, sir. Nathan Hale, 21 years old when he sacrificed his life for his country. And now Charlie Kirk's name added to the list of martyrs. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the big show coming up. Judge Joe Brown is going to join us. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the second hour of the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us. Have you downloaded our podcast? If you have not, you don't know what you're missing. The podcast comes out every afternoon, and I want to encourage you to get yourself signed up. It is a free product that we offer our great listeners. We don't charge you a single penny for that. We don't ask you for any information. We just want you to sign up for the podcast, and you can do that over at toddstearns.com. Also, you can sign up for our free newsletter, as well as, get this, we have a brand new Substack, toddstearns.substack.com. Now, if you sign up for the Substack, and Dylan, here's the problem I've been having. So we want people to, because the Substack is advertising free, so we have to foot the bill for all of that. And so we've been asking people to sign up for a paid subscription. We're having a problem with the paid part of that. So we need you to give us a helping hand here.
Help us. We got to make money.
Dylan, we got to pay Dylan. Dylan needs a raise.
It's true. I can't sleep here every night.
No, you can't. Not anymore. So anyway, head over to toddstearns.substack.com. You get all of our material advertising free, but we want you to get a paid subscription. You say, how much is it going to set me back, Starnes? $5 a month. That's it. $5 a month. So go over to Substack and lend a helping hand. All right, our telephone number, if you want to weigh in this hour of the program, that number, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Of course, we've been following a lot of the developments on university campuses where conservative kids and Christian kids are coming under ferocious attack, including at Clemson University. And Clemson, it's really disgusting what the administrators are doing there. And quite frankly, they all ought to be defunded. We ought to go in, defund the entire university, fire the administration, and see if something can be salvaged out of Clemson. But right now, I'm just not seeing it. So we talked to a student, and we're going to play that audio in just a few moments, that interview. But we talked to a student who was just brutally attacked by a leftist. And this, again, is the kind of vitriol that we're dealing with in the aftermath of the Charlie Kirk assassination. Well, as promised, I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. It's always an honor to have our good friend with us, the great Judge Joe Brown. And you know, Judge, I know you're like a living legend here in Memphis. And I realized I don't think they've erected a statue in your honor yet.
I don't think. Good afternoon, sir. Good hearing from you again. You are always one of my favorite young prospects to make it in the world. But, you know, I doubt they'll make a statue and put it up except to throw darts at. I doubt they'll name a street after me because the powers that be hate me because it's a thing about what they're trying to do with this place. Rather, let's put it this way, what wrong they're trying to do with this place.
You know, Judge, I wanted to get your reaction to President Trump yesterday. And on one side of the equation, it's embarrassing to hear the president air our dirty laundry about how horrible things are in Memphis. But at the same time, I was bursting with pride and really beaming with pride as the president said, help is on the way. And we're going to make Memphis safe again. Your reaction to the president's remarks?
Well, I tell you what, I wish somebody would draft me to the cause. I did a lot of work on this over the last five going on six decades, and there are things that you can do to get a handle on it. So I'm kind of a volunteer, but I'm glad he's doing it. See, people get this idea that, well, nobody here asked for that. Well, yeah, but nobody here is doing anything about the problem, so when you have a nation, it's the entire nation, the United States of America, and all of the citizens and resources that are within its contiguous boundaries that go into it. So when one place is breaking down because the local yokels are incompetent or crooks, that's not to expect the entire system to say, we're going to let this one spot of cancer over here grow and grow, and another one over there do the same thing. We've got to excise the cancer and get everything under control and put this in remission. And if the locals can't handle it, the sheriff's supposed to, the sheriff can't, state's closed to the state can't, then the federal government steps in. Primary concern for the Union, the Republic, is to maintain public peace, dignity, and order. And that does not exist in Memphis. The statistics I've been reading state, without equivocation, that Memphis is the most dangerous city to live in the United States and the 10th most dangerous to live in the whole world. And that is just an absolute disgrace considering the potential we have here.
You know, Judge, you're absolutely right. And, you know, to harp on the local leaders, you have the county mayor, a guy by the name of Lee Harris. He said that what President Trump is doing is anti-American and undemocratic. This is the same guy, by the way, who ordered all of our small businesses shut down during the pandemic and made all of us mask up, shut everything down in the city. And he's the guy saying Trump is un-American.
Well, yeah, and especially it's ludicrous in light of some other stuff. Wanda Halliburton went and got a paper audit because the computer system she had to work with was hacked, and it revealed that through Harris's office, there's a $28 million deficit of money that he actually, in writing, acknowledged that he took out of her accounts without her permission. And some other things that are coming up bad. So we've got all of these people that nominally could be alleged to be crooks running things. So when you got crooks running stuff, what do you expect further down? You know, stuff trickles down sometimes, and if it's crooked at the top, what do you get at the bottom? Same thing over here with our city mayor, nicknamed Urkel, without... too much stretch, you can see the resemblance and the action.
Did you call him Urkel from Family
Urkel
Matters?
Young, yes. That Urkel. He's a clown. He doesn't have a clue. He doesn't go anywhere, including four-star restaurants, without police escorts, 6, 7, 8 at a time, because he's afraid of the people here. And if you are afraid of the people, you don't need to be their mayor. See, the other point is she's not being uncooperative with the Trump administration, but you have to understand the background. Mayor Strickland, a.k.a. the Poppin' Fresh Doughboy, put Young over downtown development. There is a decrepit hotel operated by an international chain downtown Memphis that you speak about from time to time. And the city of Memphis has put up $220 million to finance its renovation. Why we do that, I don't know. But then again, maybe we do know. Because Mayor Urkel has been boasting from time to time that this hotel chain is promising an 18.7% minority set aside. Well, that's what the chain says on its website. But Urkel is going around saying 15% because it looks like he and his cronies have already cornered 3.7% of at least $220 million.
Wow.
And that's taxpayers' money. So I guess he doesn't want anybody to look into what he's doing too thoroughly. All this kind of stuff going on around here just keeps the town down. You've got charlatans who play the race game here, like Person, who is complaining that Elon Musk proposed a new XAI manufacturing plant is polluting President's Island. It's not. There's never been a study done. And as a matter of fact, Musk accelerated things by, instead of exercising his prerogative to operate for a year without certification, he jumped in before he opened up to get the certification, and he's got it. There has been no study. That's a lie. And it looks like, again, somebody is trying to do race bait hustling, and it gets us nowhere. Memphis has to come together. Shelby County has to work together. This place cannot be whole, sane, and healthy as long as one group is trying to play and race bait off of the other. We had enough of that for real year decades ago. So this is a new time to operate on a basis where everybody is included in this and not just a few select folk who I'll put it this way, they're into real estate acquisition, management, development. They come up with a project. They come up with ingenious ways of bribing the county commission and the city council, which aren't actually technically bribes, but actually the same thing. And what winds up happening is they get zoning variances, and they get contracts with the county and the city and the Board of Education to build stuff that the taxpayers are paying for. There is no use for most of it, except for the fact that they get paid for providing the construction material and for building the stuff. That's the game, the five-fold game in Memphis. Real estate acquisition, management, development, construction, and material supply for the construction projects. That's how the folk make the money, and they don't have to bribe anybody off the top. It comes off the bottom with the tax dollars that are funneled.
Judge, real quick, because we're coming up on a mandatory break here. I did want you to weigh in, and I want to get your thoughts on Charlie Kirk. You know, so many of, you mentioned them, race baiters, the agitators, people like Jasmine Crockett, Tammy Sawyer, who called him just a racist and just horrible language. Your reaction to the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and what do you think the legacy is going to be there?
Well, my son, all 6 foot 4 inches tall of him, who is a Navy veteran, and some of his friends love Charlie Kirk. They were really upset by what happened to him. And when you get the likes of Jasmine Guy, let's just put it, coonskin cap, Crockett head, wig-wearing fool that ought to take those barn door eyelashes off to set an example for her girl constituents and the young ladies, hopefully, that will grow out of that group. And then when you get to our Tammy Sawyer, questions need to be asked about what she and Van Turner did, passing a private act when they were on a county commission, allowing Turner's Corporation to buy that park on Union where Nathan Bedford Forrest was located for just $1,000 with no bid. And the one down there where Jeff Davis was located next to the Metal Museum for the same $1,000, no bid. And what they're getting out of it right now, and who got to take the statues down, and whatever his relationship was to Tammy Sawyer, and who stored the statues for 3 years for how much per month, and what kind of scam got come up so they could acquire the title to the statues and sell them for great profit to a museum. And that's supposed to be tax money, or yeah, taxpayers' money, but we didn't get it. And now she's managing the biggest cash flow in the state. That seems to be, what is it, letting the fox guard the hen house, and she's not a fox. So, well, my terminology, a fox is a fine, beautiful-looking woman. That's not what she is. So, yeah, we've got a real mess going on in Shelby County, and they had, what was it, Tennessee Waltz 20-some years ago where a lot of crooked folk got caught up in it. We need a Memphis boogie to get some more. And I'm glad for the National Guard to be here. And let me just say this. I have been out and about the last several days talking to people around this city and county. I have yet to run into somebody who is against the National Guard coming here. I'm hearing nothing but rah-rah, send them here. When are they going to get here? My wife isn't safe pumping gas. My daughter isn't safe going to school. My son isn't safe trying to go out and just buy a ticket to a ball game. I feel weird when I'm trying to go run an errand. And if you look around Memphis, look at all of the restaurants and clubs that have closed up over the last year and a half of this decadent incompetence. Look at the fact that all of the jobs that we should have here are not here. Look at what's happening out with Blue Oval. Oh, Ford is coming in to build a factory of 30,000 employees, except it's not Ford, it's Blue Oval, which is a South Korean company. It's probably going to run into the same problems that Hyundai did when ICE raided them. They had 8,700 employees. Now we've got a place that's hiring 30,000. They've already hired 15,000, but guess where they're coming from? South Korea. And that's why these idiots downtown were talking this garbage about making this a sanctuary area.
Yeah.
They toned it down a bit. Yes, sir.
Judge, we're running out of time. We're going to have to bring you back. It's been way too long, and so we've got to get you on a regular basis.
Well, I'm here. I'm retired otherwise.
All right.
Old folks sit around getting the mischief when they ain't got nothing to do.
Judge, God bless you, and I'm with you. I'm excited the National Guard's coming to town, and we're definitely going to get you back on soon, and thank you again. Folks, we do have to take a quick break. You know, Dylan, the judge had some things on his mind today.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did.
He had a lot of things.
He did. I'm still, is a barnyard door eyelashes.
You need to call him more often. He's got a lot of things to say to
Paul Shanklin. Paul Shanklin said he needs his own show. You can just have him give a Memphis report.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. All right, this is the Todd Stern Show. All right. I'm not sure what just happened here on this program. We love Judge Joe Brown. Hey, let's go to the phone lines. Mark in Bartlett, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hey, Mark, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, man, you got to get Joe Brown a show, man. You got to get him on KWAM. That guy is great. I have always loved him, and he is so tuned in to what's going on in Memphis and Shelby County. He is so entertaining. We just need him on the radio.
Well, we'll try to reach out to the judge, and if nothing else, we'll try to get him on in a regular basis because he is unafraid to speak truth to the culture.
He is, and the whole Tammy Sawyer, that whole thing was so shady. They are now getting paid rent on those properties, if I'm not mistaken, they bought for $1,000.
Yeah, and just to give our national audience here some backstory, they literally removed the Confederate statues, and they were not allowed to do so under state law because the statues were in public parks. So the city council met in the dark of night, and they sold prime real estate, those two parks, in downtown Memphis for $1,000 apiece. And then they tore down the statues just hours after the vote. And then they dug up the dead body of Nathan Bedford Forrest. And that's what they're talking about. Mark, we appreciate you listening, and we're going to work on Judge Joe Brown. Could you imagine the Judge Joe Brown show? Maybe I had to get the judge to fill on the national show when I'm out. All right, hang tight. We got to take a break. This is the Todd Stern Show.
People believe the truth, that I'm not in the weeds on the everyday movements of inmates.
Not in the weeds.
What I am doing is protecting this country, providing historic reform, and combating the weaponization of intelligence by the likes of you. And we have countlessly proven you to be a liar in Russiagate, in January 6th. You are the biggest fraud to ever sit in the United States Senate. You are a disgrace to this institution and an utter coward.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised that you continue to lie from your perch and put on a show so you can go raise money for your charade. You are a political buffoon at best.
Well, you can take an internet troll.
Take it to the bank that the FBI is protecting this country and the state and citizens of California. We are bringing historic reform.
Point of order.
But all you care about is a child sex predator that was prosecuted by a prior administration, and the Obama Justice Department and the Biden Justice Department did squat. And what did President Trump do? Bring new charges courageously. And what have we done?
Chairman,
you set up the most transparent FBI director in history. 33,000 pages of information to you. I challenge you to say anything credibly to the truth. Go ahead and run to the cameras where you want to go now.
He ran Adam Schiff out of the room. Shifty Schiff. Pencil neck himself. That, ladies and gentlemen, the one calling Shifty Schiff, pencil neck Schiff a buffoon, is our FBI director. So it got a little testy there.
You know what it may be, guys? I mean, it's the noon hour in Washington. Maybe got the hangries, and you know how that goes. You got to get a sandwich. Get some Chick-fil-A. So welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We've been following the developments on Capitol Hill, and that is a doozy as Kash Patel testifies. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend, great political strategist, Josh Jones. Josh, you and I should probably yell like that every now and again. Good for the blood.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that was a high-energy testimony. Every now and again, maybe.
You're a buffoon, Josh! You're a buffoon. No, you're not a buffoon. Josh, there's a lot that I want to talk about, and a lot has transpired since the last time you were on with us. And aside again from the FBI testimony, we do now know that they're looking at, you know, investigating multiple people, more than 20, that may have been in this Discord chat and talking with the alleged assassin of Charlie Kirk. So first, I want to get your reaction just to what we have seen and how the nation is responding to the passing of Charlie.
Look, I mean, ultimately, honestly, it goes without saying this is a tragic event. That should have never happened. And, you know, a lot of leaders, both on the left and the right, instantly came out and condemned it and you know, did appropriate things and, you know, offered their thoughts and prayers to the Kirk family and the Turning Point organization. But, I mean, the unfortunate reality is there is a segment of the American society and globally at large, but specifically as it relates to America here, that you know, we saw this awful almost celebration of his death, an assassination. And, you know, that deserves to be called out and absolutely a disgusting part of our society. So it's been very sad to see that. But luckily, I think a lot of leaders, thankfully, have taken the right path here and wanted to de-escalate the language and the violence that we've seen coming out of these far left extremists.
Yeah, and the problem is that's where it's coming from. And I really get bothered by lawmakers saying, "Well, both sides." Well, no, there's only one side here, and it's the side doing the shooting and the celebrating of the shooting. And I think that's been a little jarring for people, Josh, especially maybe people who are many years removed from college and high school. And maybe they don't understand what it's like for a conservative at one of these public universities.
Right. I mean, it is a space that historically, you know, conservatives, at least as of recent history, have been shunned or even obviously violently attacked. And you're totally right, too, that this is a largely an issue coming from the far left that we really aren't seeing from any other, you know, political segment of America at the moment. And it's something that needs to be examined, and I think the administration is taking that seriously, and it's being called out in the media. I mean, this is a story that is, you know, strikes at the core of our political system, and people need to talk about it, and we need to figure out where this radicalization is coming from and shut it down.
Yeah, you know, President Trump was talking about that as well. He is, of course, now on his way to the U.K., but he said, we've got to shut down this rhetoric, and most of it, by and large, is coming from the other side of the aisle. You know, I'm curious, Josh, when you look at where we are. I mean, you're a young guy, and you're also involved in politics heavily. What do you see out there from your vantage point?
I mean, look, thankfully, like I said, and whenever I went to college, I went to Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. So not the typical college experience in terms of coming, you know, going to a conservative institution. But a lot of my friends who didn't do that, I mean, you see on these college campuses, you know, a reaction to this where like they're holding vigils for Charlie Kirk and people are being open about, you know, paying tribute to his legacy, but also expressing that, hey, conservatives are not going to back down based on this violence, and in fact, they're only going to double down. And I think that is the right reaction, because if you cave and hide away and maybe don't share your views because of acts like this, as you know, tragic as they are, then ultimately they win and achieve their objective. So a lot of folks that I've been seeing, you know, both at conservative institutions and, you know, more traditional college campuses are saying, no, we're actually going to double down on our efforts and be more vocal about it.
Yeah, here's, by the way, that audio I was talking about. President Trump, he was asked there on the tarmac, cut 17, please.
When it comes to the governor of Utah, what do you make of his overall message of nonviolence?
Well, I agree with it. I agree 100%. But most of the violence is on the left.
Yeah. And to that point, Josh, we haven't seen a single building burned down. There have been no riots, no violence, except violence directed at people that are mourning the loss of Charlie, where these vigils have come under attack. The people have been targeting some of the displays that are set at the memorials to Charlie. And again, there's not a single building that I have seen was forced to put up plywood over their windows as a result of this. Had this been a person on the left, there would be violence, no doubt about it. We just see it over and over and over again.
Yeah, and you're absolutely correct. And that's not a political take or a political operative take, you know, trying to score points. That's just the facts as they are. Because, you know, time after time when something like this has happened to someone on the left, whatever the situation may be, 9 times out of 10 is a violent reaction, and maybe it's not the majority, but it definitely exists. A violent reaction of, you know, buildings being burned, riots in the streets, whatever the case may be. But here, you know, is a very prominent figure. Nothing that we've really seen like this in terms of a modern political assassination. And there's, you know, not riots in the street or people burning buildings down, but instead people offering their thoughts and prayers and holding vigils across the country. And I think that paints a stark contrast between the two sides and the political divide in America right now.
When you're working with candidates and you guys are working with folks all across the nation, are you guys now addressing things like, okay, you know, what if something bad happens? Here's what you need to do. Here's how you prepare for that.
I mean, look, that's a little beyond my area of expertise, you know, working with candidates, as it relates to the media and their advertising. But I mean, a lot of candidates, I will say, you know, especially those in higher profile districts or, you know, those who are a little bit more of a, let's call it a bomb thrower, politically speaking, they definitely are having to like toughen up their security and making sure that they're taking the appropriate precautions, in reaction to this, but even leading up to this, before this.
Mm. All right. Good stuff. Josh, always appreciate you, and you stay safe out there, my friend.
Thanks, Todd. You too.
All right. Josh Jones. It concerns me. I know a lot of people in politics. A lot of them are, you know, especially since we do a radio show. We work with a lot of the staff, so we not only know the lawmakers, but we know their staffs, and they're mostly young people. When you're at the White House, most of the staff at the White House, they're 30 or below. And so these are, I don't mean this derogatory. They're kids. And they're out there living their dream. They're serving their country. They should not have to worry about stuff like this. But this is what the left has done in this country. And the engine driving all of this is our nation's education system. And it's beyond me why we don't have these Republican legislatures shutting down all of this. And they have the power to do it. If these universities are going to continue churning out domestic terrorists, and that's what this guy is out in Utah. He's a domestic terrorist. All of those involved with this are domestic terrorists. Well, they're being radicalized somewhere. And if it's a university campus, that campus has to be shut down. Just got to. Let's go to the phones real quick here. Jerry in Iowa, KXEL, our great affiliate there. Hi, Jerry. What's on your mind?
Hello, Todd. Thank you for letting Americans, people, average people call up. And even if you don't always agree with everything they say, you let them talk. And Charlie did that too. So thank you also. So I'm asking you, please, don't be offended, and please hear me out. I want to make a little quick argument. So I think that using federal military power to fix state and local crime, it is a potential posse comitatus issue. I mean, it's concerning, but it could be necessary. So I want to say that I believe, I'm in the North here, a Civil War veteran history. I do think the South was and is still right about states' rights. I'm not about the old slavery issue. And aside to that, the Confederate statues should not be removed because they were states' rights heroes. And so you can bet your bottom. My argument is you can bet your bottom dollar that if the Democrats were in power now, they would be using federal power more and more, and eventually military power. I mean, we know what they are. They're communists. they would destroy all U.S. institutions. They would nationalize everything. They would nationalize state, local, you name it. So if we can make the case that local Democrats in all the states, Memphis, everywhere, are in the process of destroying the United States via multiple local insurrections, and I'd say crime is part of that. I've been to a civil war briefly, and that's what the communists do. They have to destroy everything, and crime is one way to do it. It's part of how I do it. So I think that federal power would be justified if local crime can be demonstrated to be an intentional part of the social communist Democrat insurrection plan. Because Democrats in all the states, that's what they want. They hate this country, and they want to tear it down. But to bring in federal troops, it needs that kind of a justification. And I do think the South was right about that, and I think all the states are right to this day about states' rights. So it is concerning that we're at this point where we might need federal troops and federal power. But I'm not saying I'm against that. But the Democrats, you know, if they were in power right now, they'd be going to the next level. So I'd like to hear your comments.
Well, this is it's an interesting thing, and this is not some sort of an anomaly, right? This has actually happened before in many times throughout our history and even modern American history, where the National Guard has been federalized or the National Guard has been sent in to a place like Memphis. And I'm thinking about, for example, this was in 1957 in Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas, when the governor, his name was Orville Fabus. I never can figure out how to pronounce that guy's name. Anyway, he deployed the National Guard. The governor deployed the National Guard to block black students from entering Central High School back in 1957. So President Eisenhower federalized the state's National Guard, excuse me, and then sent federal troops to Little Rock to make sure those black kids were able to get into that school. So you don't hear the Democrats, or at least the NAACP, talking about that. And the same thing happened in I believe, Alabama. Also, in 1968, in the aftermath of the MLK assassination here in Memphis, the National Guard was sent in to stop the rioting. Otherwise, the city would have burned to the ground. There was a lot of devastation. And I believe there were two other times when the National Guard's been sent in. So there's a time and a purpose and a reason. But to your point, Jerry, Memphis has a vital national security interest with our port, the rail system here, as well as the airports. We are a major, major transportation hub. And that's one of the reasons I believe the president is stepping in and saying, We've got to make sure this is all protected.
Yeah, so thank you. I think it's very clear that the Democrats are in the process of committing insurrection. They want to destroy.
No doubt about it. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
No doubt about that, Jerry. I think you're absolutely right. They are literally turning a blind eye. For the mayor and the city leaders in Memphis, and we've heard this in others, well, Washington, for example, and Chicago, where the same situation, the Democrat mayors are saying, crime is at an all-time low, and when you actually look at the stats, you realize it's simply not true. It's just not true. All right, got to take a break. This is the Todd Stern Show.
That rant of false information does not bring this country together. If you want to work on bringing this country, it's my time, not yours.
My God.
If you want to talk about
dividing this country,
it is my time.
I follow you on your social media posts that tear this country apart.
To address your falsehoods.
Oh, you can try all you want
in this country
to not take responsibility for what you have said. Sir, you're making a mockery of this committee. Sir, you don't tell me my time is over. The people of New Jersey tell me what my time is. You can't lecture me.
You can tell me my time's over.
You may be the charge of the FBI.
I'm not going anywhere.
But I am not afraid of you,
Mr. Chairman.
Not afraid of you.
Mr. Chairman, point of order.
I'm not afraid of you. My name is Cory Booker, and I just got engaged to a woman. I'm not afraid of you, you beastly man, you.
Wow, this is insane. Look, it's getting spicy up on Capitol Hill. Dylan, here's what I want. I think somebody is going to be throwing punches.
Yeah, it seems like it's heading towards that way. It's only ramping up from here.
I would challenge you to a duel, but I just got a mani and a pedi.
You know, it was kind of weird. When a guy gets engaged, you know, it's like, it's really for the girl, right? It's for the female.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, they're the ones that are posting all this stuff, and they're like, he's kind of taken on that role, that responsibility.
He's posting the pictures. He's planning the wedding.
I'm not saying anything. I'm not even insinuating anything.
I wonder what flowers he's going to pick out.
I don't. who's his bridesmaid going to be? The flower girl. I love the pansies. We have pansies all over Jersey. You know, that's where Cassie's from, by the way. That's
true.
That's her old senator.
She loves those flowers.
I mean, who would you pick in a fight, in a brawl, in a street brawl? I mean, Cory Booker or Cash Patel? My money's on Patel. Didn't even have to think about that. Did not have to think about it. You know, Bongino standing outside the door there. He's got the, the brass knuckles. Yo, Cory, Booker, over here. All right, we'll keep you updated on that. It's getting ugly. Up on Capitol Hill. That's all there is to that. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I hear that Cory Booker and Lindsey Graham love to have lunch dates, but, you know, platonic, of course, just platonic. All right, hang tight. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Dylan, apparently Josh Jones's mom is in our Facebook Live chat. This is sort of cool.
He's got fans.
I didn't realize, you don't realize, like people like Jeffrey Lord and Trish Regan and, you know, Todd Starnes, we all have parents. You forget about that, right? We're not just beautiful people on the TV.
It's true.
Lathered up in makeup.
My mom watches the Facebook stream, too.
Oh, does she really?
Yes, and then she texted me, disappointed.
I've got to read this, and I think it's okay because she posted this in the live chat.
Public.
So it is public, right? I just don't want to get in trouble. And, you know,
she's going to delete it right before read it.
Don't delete it.
It's a nice message.
I copy-pasted. Just in case. No. We sent Josh to Liberty to avoid liberal influence and have Christian values. I am praying for friends who have a daughter at a state school, college, to not be influenced by the left liberals. These kids are influenced in colleges, and thank God they are firing these faculty members that celebrated the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Amen, Mrs. Jones. Our colleges need cleaned up, and I know Charlie would be glad to see liberal faculty members that would brainwash these young adults being removed. That is what he worked so hard for, to counteract their influence, praying for warriors to rise up and continue on. I like her. Now we know where Josh, he got his feistiness. But this is true because, and this is the heartbreaking thing about when you look at Utah. I mean, this kid raised in a Mormon family, the whole family, big Trump supporters, conservatives. It seems like they did everything right. But then the kid leaves and gets brainwashed and gets sucked into something. And the next thing you know, something terrible happens. And, you know, there are a lot of parents out there who feel like, not a lot. I think there are some parents out there. Let me rephrase that. I think there are some parents out there, once your kid turns 18, that's it. Boom, you're on your own. But I think in today's culture, in today's society, that you really have to, I think parents have to keep an eye on their kids because you never know what's going to happen once they get to that, especially that public university campus. I mean, thank goodness you've got schools like a Liberty or a Hillsdale or Grand Canyon or Colorado Christian, you know, the list goes on and on. There are really good schools out there. But I think as parents and even grandparents, you got to keep an eye on things. And if you see something squirrely going on, you got to step in and you've got to intervene. So anyway, thank you, Mrs. Jones, for weighing in there. I love that. Let's go to the phone lines and say hello to Barbara Jean in Bartlett, Tennessee, listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Hi, Barbara Jean. What's going on?
Hello, Mr. Todd. Thank you so much for taking my call. My name is Barbara, but I told her that you can call me Barbara Jean.
All right. I like. No. Hold on, Barbara Jean. Before we get into that, you know, you're a Southern woman. I mean, that's the thing. The Southern women have the hyphenated first names.
Yes. Yes, we do. We do. I wanted to make a few comments. You know, when Kennedy was assassinated, we all remember where we were. And when Charlie Kirk was assassinated, I remember where I was. I was in my car and I was driving. And you are the first person that said it that I believe on air. And you said, oh, everybody play for Charlie Kirk. He's been shot. And then I went home and turned it on and I was watching all of that coverage of it. And one real important thing that I wanted to say is that I work with a lot of mayors and commissioners. I used to be on the National Day of Prayer team, and we would get all of the city together, all the churches, and, of course, you know, do our prayers. So I worked with Senator Blackburn, many, 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 many political people. But what I noticed, Mr. Stern, is that the Republicans are praying. We're not burning. We're not burning down cities, but we're praying. But also our pastor called us to be active. And what he said is, America, there's so much darkness, but the light of Jesus Christ is coming in. And we need to share that with these young people. I went up to him after church and I said, you know, I'm an event planner. I know how to do this. We need to get with the police. We need to get with these gangs. We need to feed them, talk to them. Don't just sit and listen and listen and listen to all this awful crime. And this very week, when they're sending in the National Guard, praise God. Thank you, President Trump. I did not know, this is kind of silly to say, but I did not know that Mayor Young was opposing it. So I made a phone call and I said, hey, I just want to say thank you so much for this wonderful thing you're doing and that we support you. We love you. We know that you want the National Guard. I'm 70 years old. I've been in the middle of two robberies. Thank God I wasn't shot. But I'm 70 years old, and I want to make sure that I'm safe. Hung up the phone, went to church Sunday, and they started laughing. I'm like, why are y'all laughing? He's so opposed to this situation. He doesn't want anybody to bring in the National Guard. But as you remember, and I do too, and I'm going to date myself, Martin Luther King, when he was assassinated, who did they bring in? And the thing that is so odd to me, well, it shouldn't be odd because you know this, Todd, is that it's a spiritual warfare. Bless this precious, precious woman and her children and him. He was wonderful. And they kept saying, who's going to be the next Charlie Kirk? And his wife stood up and she said, I am. I'm going to make it go. And you know what? The devil thinks that he can take out one voice. It just made all of us want to get in and have a voice. And me, as someone who's 70 years old, I raised my hand and I said, count me in. I'm not going to just hear it. But I want to get out and I want to do something.
I love that.
With this crime. That's what I want. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, no, I love that. And I spoke at the vigil. There were two vigils that we've had in the Memphis area for Charlie, and I was honored to be invited to speak at both. And I told the crowd, you know, I looked out and I said, I see hundreds and really thousands of Charlie Kirks out there. And it's a reminder for all of us that we all have a role to play here. I mean, Charlie grew up, you know, in a middle-class home in Illinois, you know, started Turning Point out of his garage, his dad's garage, and look what it became. And I think that's the American story, and it's the story of who we can be. And I think especially for the young men of America, they're watching what's happening, and they're realizing, you know what, the problem is we haven't stood up. We're not standing our ground, and we're not pushing back against the narrative coming from the left. Now, we're all happy warriors, and if you're a Christian, you are a happy warrior. That doesn't mean that you just sit down and hide your light under a bushel, and those of you of a certain age, Barbara Jean, will know that song reference. We're not supposed to hide our light under a bushel. We're supposed to hold it high, and we're supposed to let the flame of what I call the flame of freedom burn bright. And I think we're going to see that. I really believe we're entering a new day and a new age in American history.
Yeah, thank you. That is such a blessing to me. I listen to you every day, and you always say these wonderful things. And it gets us fired up like, yes, we're warriors. We're peaceful warriors, but we've got to say something. We can't just stand by and do nothing. I'm a prayer warrior. I'm an intercessor. I will pray, but I'm also, I want to go to the police department. Tell me what we need to do. Help me help you. What support do you need?
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're getting from you, from the vigils, from Senator Blackburn, from the National Guard. So I don't want to keep you. I just wanted to say thank you so very, very much. And God bless you. And I'm going to hang up and listen to some more of your wonderful, wonderful information.
Well,
thank you.
Barbara Jean, God bless you. And thank you so much for calling in. And that means a lot. And look, I think prayer is a big thing. I think we ought to be on our knees. And I think we ought to be praying and getting involved. And when there are those opportunities, I keep thinking of our friends at Patriot Talk 920 in Houston, and they're doing something. I'm trying to call this up here as we. So they're hosting a big event, and you talk about doing something. They were there at the big rally in downtown Houston just the other night. And, oh, here we go. So they just shared this, and this is a great thing. They are joining efforts with our friends at Gun Owners of America. And they're doing a Youth Introduction to Firearms course. And they're sponsoring the Youth Introduction to Firearms, supported by the Sufficient Arms Defense. And it's a two-hour class for kids ages 10 to 17. The local radio station's doing that. And I just love this because we're raising up that next generation of American patriots. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Opening up the phone lines, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And you heard Barbara Jean say, what are some things that we can be doing? Maybe you have an idea. Maybe you guys are doing something in your community. I can tell you at KWAM, we're putting together an idea. And Dylan, I'm not sure, this is going to be kind of fun. But, you know, we had a lot of young people come up and say, you know, we'd like to do a radio show. And even Little Starnes, who is 6'3" now.
Little Big Starnes.
We got to call him, Little Big Starnes. Yeah. I love that.
Of course.
Big and Starnes. He got Big and Rich. Big and Starnes. No,
He wants to do a show.
He wants to do a show.
That's a good idea.
That's pretty exciting. With his pals. You know, they've got the. We're looking at maybe finding young people around the Memphis area that would do a, I don't know, weekly or monthly show. Conservative young people for conservative young people. So we're looking for those opportunities, and we'll take your calls on that. Got to take a break first. So this is the Todd Stern Show. No, it's really true there, Dylan, that Southerners, Southern women, they have the double names, right? So even your grandma, Esther Lynn.
It's true.
So when Barbara Jean called in, I knew exactly what I knew she was from the South just because she has a double name. Like Betty Jo. What is it? There was a great show back in the 1960s called Petticoat Junction. Anybody remember Petticoat Junction? They had a great theme song, by the way. And they had these three sisters. There was Billy Joe and Betty Joe, and there was another Joe. I can't remember. Maybe it was just Gladys. Oh, it was Bobby Joe. You had Bobby. I'm not kidding you. Bobby Joe, Billy Joe, Betty Joe. And they ran the Shady Rest Hotel. They're in Petticoat Junction. You know what we ought to.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is a mouthful. You know what we ought to do, though, is where was that? So Petticoat Junction was birthed from. Well, you know what? That's too easy. Do we know where Petticoat Junction is? You can't. That's the trivia question. What was the town where Petticoat Junction was based? It's a this is a fun trivia question. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. But they were in cahoots with like the Beverly Hillbillies and Green Acres And then you had Petticoat Junction. Dylan, I want you to call up the theme song to Petticoat Junction, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. I just love that show. Anyway, 901-260-5926, if you know what town Petticoat Junction was based in. This is a pleasant story, and I've got to share this with you because I need some good news. I really do. A little boy has opened a compliment stand. This is in Sycamore, Illinois. And normally, you would have little children opening up lemonade stands. But a nine-year-old little boy, his name is Ethan Wargo, he decided to set up a little stand in the front yard of his home. He is not serving lemonade. He is serving kindness. Ethan, according to OnlyGoodNewsDaily.com, Ethan spends hours at his little stand offering free compliments to anyone who stops by. You know what, Dylan? We need to do a road trip. I could use a compliment. Ethan makes it personal. I want to give out something good that will make them have a big smile on their face. He did an interview with the Washington Post. The idea came from an unusual place, a graphic novel. In the book, a character sets up an insult stand. I think I passed by a couple of those. Ethan flipped the idea on its head. I was just thinking of it, and I was like, hey, I feel like there's something in there that can be used. Wow, this is a smart little kid for a nine-year-old. He felt like dispensing happiness should be free. I didn't want people to pay to be happy. Paying for something like that is very silly, he says. Good for you, Ethan. I love this story. This is great. Ethan Wargo of Sycamore, Illinois. You know, I'd love to be able to do that here, but I think somebody might carjack the poor kid. So give it a couple of weeks. Let the National Guard do. You know what? Let the National Guard do what they got to do, and then maybe the kids of Memphis can set up the compliment stand. Give the kids some Kevlar. Man, it is rough out there. I'm going to tell you, Dylan, I was down at the Peabody. You know, they do the annual Duck March, right?
The coolest things ever.
Amazing. And I got to tell you something. I noticed that the little ducks are outfitted with Kevlar. It's not good.
Full army vest.
Yes, it's full army vest. All right, we're going to go to Curtis in Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. And Dylan, if he gets this right, we're going to play the theme song to Petticoat Junction. All right, that's your clue if he gets it right. Curtis, KYKN, our great radio station out there. Curtis, do you know, were you a big fan of Petticoat Junction back in the day?
Yes, I absolutely was. And all those Mary Joes and Bobby Joes and every Joes, yeah, they were, yeah, you bet. I was a young boy at the time, and that was a fun show. And it was based in, I don't think it was a real town, but Hooterville, of course. That's where the...
So wait. So you're telling me that Hooterville is your answer?
Hooterville is my answer.
All right, let's go right to the tape here.
Come ride the little train that is rolling down the
Come on, Curtis, you know it too. Petticoat Junction.
Forget about your cares, it is time to relax at the junction.
Petticoat Junction.
Lots of curves, you bet.
Lots of curves.
Need more when you get to
Hold
the
on.
Junction.
Petticoat Junction. That's Billy Joe, Bobby Joe, and Betty Joe.
There's a little hotel called the Shady Rest at the junction.
Petticoat Junction.
It is run by Kate. Come and be her guest at the junction.
Petticoat Junction.
And that's Uncle Joe.
He's a moving, not a slow.
At the junction. Petticoat Junction.
You know, Curtis, they just don't make shows like theme songs like that anymore, do they?
They absolutely don't, and I just remember, and Beverly Hillbillies was my other favorite back then, too. So, yeah, speaking of good theme songs and Green Acres and all those good shows.
I'm preparing the team for Friday. Guys, I'm breaking the news now. We're doing, like, at least an hour of trivia on Friday. We have got to totally decompress for at least one day on the show. Yeah, Curtis, congratulations. I think a lot of young American boys, red-blooded American boys, were really into Petticoat Junction thanks to Bobby Joe, Betty Joe, and Billy Joe.
I think you're right.
There were a lot of curves at that junction, as they say.
That's right.
All right. Hey, Curtis, hang tight. Congratulations. We're going to send you one of my books as a little prize here. Thanks for playing along on trivia. And, guys, thanks for hanging out with us today. We had to do a little bit of a detour to Hooterville. 901-260-5926. Oh, I just got the name of the town. I just figured that out. Whoops. This is the Todd Starnes Show. And welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. Let's go to the phone line. Say hello to Mark in Gainesville, Georgia, listening to us on WDUN today. Hi, Mark. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. Hey, can you hear me?
Loud and clear, my friend.
Okay. Hey, what I was telling your screener there is that I don't know if you recall in the intro of the show, the three nieces were taking a bath in the town's drinking water in the water tower.
Were they taking a bath? I always thought they went in for a little skinny dipping.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay. Well, all I remember is that they didn't have any. Well, they were showing presumably that they didn't have any clothes on because they were throwing their clothes over the edge of the water tower.
It was sort of like a running gag, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I just always thought that was funny. I mean, even as a little kid, I picked up on that. I said, why are they in the water tower? I don't know, taking a bath. It was just the funniest thing. I didn't know if you remembered that part of it or not. I didn't know if you were watching the clip earlier.
I think, hence the term, the curves, lots of curves in the junction. There was a little bit of innuendo in that song that I don't think we got until we were older.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah, we didn't get the curves. We were thinking that they were talking about the train going around the tracks.
The
guy that sang the theme song was the guy that was married to Betty. I think it was Betty Jo in the TV show.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was the same guy. I can't remember that actor's name, but he's the guy that's singing the theme song.
Well, I had no idea, but all I know is that they loved going with the double names, which is what got us on that whole conversation.
Oh yeah, I talk to you about Petticoat Junction and Green Acres all day long.
Wow. Well, you know who else did that? I mean, it was Lyndon Johnson. You had Lady Bird, Linda Bird, and then Lucy. Was it Lucy Bird? Lucy Baines. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. So they did the whole. And then was it Little Beagle Johnson? LBJ. LBJ wanted all the women and the pets and the family to have his initials.
That's hilarious.
So there you go. I'm sure somebody will call in about Petticoat Junction. It was just one of those fun escapism shows back in the 1960s.
It was great. Loved Uncle Joe. Moving kind of slow. Loved him.
And remember, who was it? Sam Drucker, who used to run the store. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, he was part of Green Acres because I think Green Acres was actually a spinoff of Petticoat Junction.
There was Green Acres. They were all sort of tied in together. There was Green Acres, and I know Wyatt Cox, our good friend, and Wyatt is an expert at, like, old stuff, old shows, radio shows. But there was Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and then you had Petticoat Junction. There may have been one other one in there. Maybe it was Mayberry RFD.
Mayberry RFD was a spinoff of Andy Griffith Show.
That's right. My apologies. You're right. I knew that. Shame on me. I'm going to punish myself. I'll drink unsweet tea for supper tonight.
Oh, no, don't do that. That's horrible. that's like drinking dirty water.
Right. I'm like, what's the point? What's the point of it all?
No.
All right.
I'm not drinking dirty. You have a good day, Todd. Thank you very much.
Mark, thank you. I love these. Going down memory lane here. And, of course, all of these shows were like back when I wasn't even born yet when Petticoat Junction and all those shows came out. So it was really fun watching them in reruns. Dylan, there was a time when we had something called Nickelodeon, which in its early days when cable was just coming out, in its early days, they played all of these shows. So, you know, nowadays they have like Nick at Night and Nickelodeon has all their own, you know, shows. But back in the 1980s, all of us kids, we would stay up late at night and we would watch all, you know, like Petticoat Junction and the Partridge Family and things like that.
I didn't realize Nickelodeon played the old shows, because Nickelodeon for me is like SpongeBob SquarePants, which I got trash TV. I don't get the good TV you guys had. I mean, I had The Office, which that's what I count as good TV. But
yeah, well, The Office is fine TV.
Yeah, but they don't make them like they used to.
That's true. They really don't. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, heads up here, just getting some news in from Utah. They are officially going to seek the death penalty for Tyler Robinson, and he is facing a number of charges. But today he was formally charged with aggravated murder, discharging a firearm, causing serious injury, two counts of obstruction of justice, two counts of witness tampering, and committing a violent offense in the presence of a child. So death penalty for this guy, and I'm going to be very anxious to know if, in fact, more people are going to be charged. You know, we mentioned Clemson University and had a chance to talk to a young kid yesterday on the Newsmax show. He is a part of the College Republicans at Clemson. They were setting up a display when they got attacked. I want you to listen to what happened.
Well, joining me now is Jackson Heberlin, the student at Clemson University and a member of the Clemson College Republicans. Jackson, I'm stunned by this, and I wanted to get your reaction when you saw what she was saying.
The moment that she came by and dropped that note, it had a really personal impact on me. I mean, it's such an aggressive thing to say, and especially with us out there trying to table for the memory of Charlie Kirk very shortly after his passing, I was immediately stricken by it. Obviously, once she turned into the camera, too, and said that he deserved to die, it really did feel like a crazy moment for me. And I had to take a seat and just think, like, it's crazy that people on this campus who you see every day have, in some cases, come to this.
Well, it's not just students there at Clemson, but we also understand at least three staffers, including a faculty member, and one of them actually suggested that even more conservatives should be assassinated. And I'm just wondering, do you and your fellow conservatives actually feel safe at Clemson University?
I can say that I do trust the students here, and I think this is a really great university. University staff has really collaborated to help make us feel safe. Obviously, with the initial statements from professors and seeing students revel in the death of Kirk, it's been very difficult for us. But I have faith in this university, and I do believe that in the end it will have our back. Today we had security stationed at our tabling, and that was just at the first request. So I think the university is taking care to accommodate us. Obviously, though, with the professors' statements, it is disheartening, and it's taken a long time to get a statement.
I am curious about the national reaction to this, and we have seen just tens of thousands of people actually celebrating the assassination. What does that tell you about the condition of the country?
I mean, for me, it was a big shock. I'm generally someone who likes to think that people are better than that kind of mentality, and I've always felt that most people would be, you know, mutual on this, that political violence is never acceptable. But to see the reaction, it's really been a surprise to me. And for me, at least, this really set in stone the first day we went out tabling. We had students pass by and laugh. We had students frown at us and try and make jokes about it. I was photographed at one point even. And it's been something that has shocked me with the negative reaction. I think it's important that we make a clear statement across the board, both left and right, that this is never acceptable. I know, at least for me, I've been trying really hard to get the word out there on what we've been experiencing here on campus and try to make the better of a bad situation with Kirk's passing. I know many people are responding in this hateful and negative way, but many people, I think, hopefully, I like to think myself included, are trying to contribute to a better future for this discourse and publicly outlining that this is never acceptable.
Mm. And some good news there as a result of all of our listeners and viewers just reaching out to Clemson and expressing their dismay. We can tell you that Clemson has now fired all three of those staffers, and we're still waiting to see if the student's going to be expelled. But I got to tell you, we've got to play hardball here, and we have to crank down. We have to purge our universities of anybody who celebrates
an assassination. We just got to do it. Let's go to the phones here, 901-260-5926. Creed in North Carolina. Hi, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I'm a regular caller. I'm from Hendersonville, North Carolina, and Petticoat Junction girls. They swim up in the water tower all the time. They did not go to the ponds. That's where they always swim. They throw their clothes over the water tower.
That was the iconic opening shot there in the theme song, was it not, Creed?
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
That show was good.
And then you had the cement pond, which was from the Beverly Hillbillies.
Hillbillies. That's where they swim at. They always thought there was fish in there.
I forgot. I forgot about that. You're right.
You forgot about that?
Oh,
that
my
was a good
goodness.
Show too.
It was. It was just, you know, those were fun shows. There was no politics. It was just good, clean fun that the whole family could sit down and enjoy together.
A lot of fun.
All right, Creed, thank you for calling in, and thank you for listening. Wyatt Cox from the Nevada Talk Network just sent me this note, and it this is true. I forgot about this, Wyatt, but CBS literally canceled all of those shows. They were extremely popular. All of them. They called it the Rural Purge of 1971, and they canceled all of those shows, Beverly Hillbillies, Petticoat Junction, Green Acres. Pat Buttram played Mr. Haney on, was that Green Acres that he played, Mr. Haney? And he was quoted as saying that CBS canceled every show with a tree in it, and they did. And now you know the rest of the story. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Let's go to the phone lines here. And I'm really anxious to talk to Richard. And Richard, I understand from the lovely Miss Cassie, who answers the phones, that you're actually... you're doing time right now in North Carolina. Is that right?
Yes, that's right, Todd.
Well, we're excited to have you with us today. Richard, what's on your mind?
Well, first, I was going to say, Petticoat Junction, I love that show. I believe that water tower wasn't for drinking water. I believe it was just for the steam engines and stuff for the trains. Either cool them down or to bring on water for the trains. I just wanted to say that. I may be wrong. But also, Charlie Kirk, I remember seeing him on Fox News. I think he was about 18. Him and another young man and a young lady all in high school with him. And, man, that really hit hard because I remember thinking that young man was going to go somewhere and do good things. But whatever, them two that was on the show with him, are they part of his organization? It's, I know his wife said she's going to keep on, and I hope all of y'all help and keep it, because it's only probably a fifth of us in here that even considered anywhere close to a Republican. And still try to keep some morale.
So most of the folks behind bars, you'd say, would be Democrats, Richard?
I would. And, mm-hmm. and a small portion Christians and very small Republicans for the most part.
Richard, I got to ask you, how are you able to listen to my show in jail? Do they are they playing the radio? They play the show?
I listen to you on the, what they call the First Talk Radio out of Beaufort, North Carolina, on the beach. I'm down here in Pamlico County, which is Bayboro. It's right on the coast of North Carolina, which I'm from the mountains of North Carolina, and I got a little Texas in me. I was in Texas for 10 years. I'm sure you can tell from my voice. But, yeah, I listen to you on the radio almost every day, Todd. And I listen to Lars Larson. It's It's a lot of good stuff on the radio, and you're one of my favorites.
Well, you're kind to say that, Richard. And do you have much longer to serve on your sentence?
Well, I've been in 24 years. I actually took a man's life, and I still have 20 to go. And, you know, I've always said I didn't feel like I deserved to get out. I took a man's life, and I deserved to do my time. I am in federal court because I was sentenced outside my guidelines. I don't feel like I deserve to get out today, but I feel like I deserve to get out in a couple of years because that is what I agreed to on my plea bargain.
Richard, let me ask you, do you guys have a church in there? Do you have a chaplain, or does somebody come in and minister to you guys?
Yeah, we have volunteers that come in due to budget cuts. We have a lot of camps and prison units don't have actual chaplains. We have volunteers that come in several nights a week. They've really cut out a lot of things, but, you know, we have Bible studies in the blocks and stuff. If you're lucky enough to have, you know, either one more or two more willing Christians. Joe Gibbs started a thing here where they train chaplains in the inmate population, and they go out to minister. It's like a ministry program.
Yes, sir.
And Joe Gibbs used to be the coach of Washington Redskins.
Washington Redskins, great in the motor racing world.
This call is from a North Carolina correction.
Oh dear, I think we just lost Richard there, Richard. But well, God bless you. I know you're listening to us, and we certainly appreciate you listening to us. And good luck to you. What a story. Richard calling in, you never know who's going to listen on the radio. And for a lot of people, folks, the radio's it. That's their form of connection with society. That's their connection. You know, they're out on the roads. Maybe you're a truck driver. Maybe you are, as Richard is, he called in from the prison. And we appreciate him doing that. And we wish him nothing but the best. He's taken responsibility for whatever crime he committed. And he called in. Big fan of Petticoat Junction, too. There you go. All right. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Tomorrow, we're going to explore what's happening over at the University of North Georgia. Just got a text from our friends over in that area. And really, people are pretty upset, pretty hot over this story. And we're going to get to the bottom of it. So be sure to tune in tomorrow. Also, 5 o'clock tonight Eastern, the Todd Stern Show. Senator Marsha Blackburn is going to be joining us, and we're going to be talking about a lot of different stories. Of course, we're also going to break down the big back and forth on Cash Patel's appearance today up on Capitol Hill. I'm still shocked nobody threw a punch. I'm just telling you. All right. Wow. Don't forget, folks, head over to our website, toddstearns.com, and you'll find all sorts of great information, great stories there. And also be sure to download our podcast and our newsletter. It's been a lot of fun, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening, no matter where you are across the nation, across free America, or if you're incarcerated, we welcome all of you to the Todd Stearns Radio family. Get out there, you be good, America, and you be safe.